Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Footy Prime, the podcast, presents the Weekend Wrap Show with Brendan Dunlop, James Sharman, and Craig Forrest.
That's right, JC, the voice vendor. This is the Weekend Recap. Start of another week on Footy Prime almost daily. I'm Brendan Dunlop, joined by James Sharman and Craig Forrest. I don't know what's more surprising, the fact that we're able to produce four shows a week or the fact that new people keep finding us.
Jeez. I guess it's four times a week is the bigger surprise because...
It's a shocker.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, there's so many ways to discover good and bad on the internet, right? So, you know, no matter how awful we are, people will still dig us up. Whereas to us to commit to four times a week.
And you're in your basement.
Yeah.
You're in your basement. You haven't moved for like 2 weeks. Are you still positive, by the way?
I'm just positive. Yeah. I mean, listen, they say even a faint line is still positive. So I consider myself still positive, but it can just about. So I'm very close to being negative. My wife's negative. My daughter's negative. I'm just hanging in there. And I got a few symptoms still, but I feel fine. But the cough and the voice is still.
How are you enjoying avoiding the family?
You know what? I love my basement so much. And I've watched so much snooker and football this weekend again. And yes. Then my wife said to me, she goes, why do you spend so much time in the basement? I said, because I don't get nagged down here. You know, I enjoy it. I'm just kidding. No, she's actually very understandable. But no, I don't know. It's just nice down here. And shut the door. Dogs can't get down here. It's just me and my cat, basically. And we have a good time. Watch sports. And
I've known you for 15 years. I can confirm you've been positively negative the 15 years that I've known you. So
tough to argue.
No surprise to hear you list how long you've been negative and that they live with you, so they're negative. Get it. Totally get it.
Negative Nelly.
Well, thanks for joining us. Are we interrupting? What inning in the snooker are they at?
No, they just finished. Neil Robertson just smashed Basil Hawkins. It's a frame.
Donnie, it's a frame, buddy.
I got some nice picture frames up here. Actually, I've updated the room. You guys haven't noticed. But yeah.
I told B on text about an hour ago that one day we'll sit down and we'll watch an entire game over the course of a day, and I'll educate him, and his life will change for the better.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. At the time you sent me that text message, it was halftime of Atalanta and Inter, and I just switched over to the Benfica U19 women's futsal team on Fubo there. So I was busy.
Wow, look at you. Dropping the Fubo tag there, eh? Jeez, you mercenary.
Yeah, just, you know, just watching the content. That's all. Just watching the content. I don't know how many people woke up for what should have been the headline game of the weekend, which I think we predicted on the show when we did Footy Picks that it would be a low scoring affair. I think Wonga was trying to get us to hype people up that there'd be more goals. But in the end, just one deciding Man City and Chelsea. Man City 13 points ahead of Chelsea with that win. Just give City the trophy now, right? Let them go to the Maldives like Pep joked about a couple weeks ago, because it's only 11 points between City and Liverpool, but this title race is over.
Hey, game in hand, pal. Game in hand for the Reds.
Yeah, so it's eight. Let's say eight. You know, it's not nine wins in a row for City again. They've done it four times under Pep in the Premier League history. It's only been done nine times.
Really? So nine times in a row has been done just nine times? Because you kind of get used to it, right, with City.
You really do.
But as a former player, I mean, tell us what that takes to win nine straight matches. And it's more than that in the league. I think it's 12 now, isn't it?
No fucking idea.
Yeah, I guess never been there. Don't know.
The honesty with which Sharms asked that question, like he truly meant it. It wasn't to set you up. Normally we are.
I know.
No, I was kind of trying to get from Craig though. What tell us about the mental toll a season takes on a team. So even the greatest teams in the world, you know, don't win every match, generally speaking, right?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to maintain a standard.
Well, that's it. And you have to say that when you look at Pep Guardiola, like it's one thing having money, because you can talk about a few other clubs, Everton, which we will do in a moment, that have spent money. So it doesn't guarantee you a success. And then you put into the fact that he brings in top, top players, prima donnas, and he manages them brilliantly well, and they show up every single game. Every game. It is quite something. Like I said, it's not as easy as just spending the money, because he's quite proven that it doesn't matter who it is, he's got full control. He can drop players. They know what it takes to stay in there, and it's down to Pep for me.
It may still only be January, but this El Clasico was very much sold as a title decider, right? And Pep said his players' dedication to winning is more valuable than the title.
Well yeah, bullshit. No one believes that, Pep. The title is far more important than anything else, because the players will come and they will go.
But to your point, I mean, you found it surprising to see that they've won 9 in a row, or you wanted to quiz Forrest on what it would be like to win 9 in a row. So obviously it's impressive to Pep as well, someone who's done it and has done it with a slightly different crop of players a few times.
Yeah, but the thing is with I've heard people asking, is Pep and what he's doing there a little bit overrated?
Uh-huh.
But if you look at, you know, what Mancini did there and Pellegrini did there, right? And they won championships, they won trophies, and so has Pep. But what Pep's done is just completely redefined the way the game's played in England, I think. And that's what it is, right? You know, this team will go down in the history books as being this team that was on the cutting edge of modern football, right? You talk about Euro, how Italy played and how Spain played, right? Well, in many ways, City are playing the league style comparable, right? They just play this different, you know, they're spreading the wealth. They haven't got a prolific goal scorer among them, but they're just pretty much unbeatable right now. So I think that's Pep's legacy more than trophies. Until he wins the European Cup, right? That'll be different. But right now, his legacy to me is how he's redefined the game in England more so than what he's won.
No, that's a good point. And how he took that new rule with the goalkeeper being able to play the ball inside the box and to be able to use that to an advantage. Do you notice the football now over the last few years since that rule has come into play, that there's a lot more space?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the field is stretched all over the place. People are not sure. They press in a little bit, but their space is there.
Not everyone can play from the back, though, as we saw in the Brentford game, Brentford and Liverpool, right?
Well, that's it. You got to have the quality to do it. And it drives me freaking nuts when you still see teams, when you get into bad positions, smash it, just get rid of it. Like, but they all want to try to keep possession. And I kind of wonder if anybody is keeping stats on, you know, how many goals are scored in that manner, playing that way. Man, City are fine because they got guys that are amazingly comfortable all over the field, including a goalkeeper. So it'd be interesting to know, are you gaining an advantage playing that way overall, or are you actually giving up more goals?
Well, you've mentioned before, Craig, with City and why they set the standard playing that way is because Ed Essen can also ping it 70 yards onto the shoelaces, and you have that threat as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not often that you have a keeper that can do both things, and he can do both things. Obviously, they keep it tight, they keep it from the back, but you know what he can do as well. So how do you even think about defending that?
That's a massive weapon. I in my arsenal, I wish that was one thing I wish I had was that 80-yard ping, and I bet you most goalkeepers wish they had it too. I mean, most guys could strike it well. I mean, De Gea, they all could strike it well, you know, to a degree, but he could do it with one step. You're under a lot of pressure as a team because you're kind of damned if you do. You want to put them under pressure, but then you're creating a situation where you can get hit over the top by the goalkeeper off a goal kick. They can kill you in so many ways. You can't be offside on a goal kick. Who the friggin' knew that? Doesn't come to, you know what I mean? Like when Aguero broke it, he's like, oh, yeah, he's offside. No, it's a goal kick, you know?
I've always found it interesting how, you know, any professional footballer has a freaking incredible right or left leg and they can boot a ball a long way. Anyone can do that. But some guys just do it better than others, right? They hit the ball so true, you know? And Edison's one of those guys. James Ward-Prowse, who is second to Beckham now at free kicks, he scored an absolute beauty this weekend.
Amazing.
For Southampton against the Wolves. A guy that just hits it so well.
That was a different strike than you see from him sometimes too, because he's hit that basically like a knuckleball.
That was Ronaldo.
Yeah.
It was.
And the reason it beats the keeper from 32 yards is because the keeper's trying to pick up the flight of it.
And it's going...
Well, if you hit one like an arrow straight as an arrow toward the top corner, the keeper's going to get it.
From that distance.
If you're going to travel the distance from Southampton to Wolverhampton and watch your team lose, that's a pretty good consolation goal to come away with.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And then even seeing Traore's goal was pretty sweet as well. I know it's for the wrong team, but man, he's nice to see him score his first goal of the league as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A guy that I still don't know. I think the jury's out on him still. There are a lot of rumors about him making a move to Spurs. And to me, he screams like a Spurs player to me for some reason, doesn't he? He's just so natural. He fits into that team. But he's fun to watch, but the end result isn't often there. But he sure is, you know, one of those guys you want to watch.
He's such a talent. I mean, I think if they didn't have money troubles, I think he might be at Barcelona, whether he cracks a team or ends up being like an Alexis Sanchez, where you know he's talented enough to start on most teams in that league, but maybe not week in and week out on that exact team. He's growing into it, much like he's grown through whatever size shirt Wolves give him.
No kidding, eh? He's a specimen, isn't he?
I'm glad we got that game out of the way, though, boys. That was excellent.
You know, B gave us the rundown today of what games to cover. And I'm like, what happened to Wolves Southampton? I actually watched that one.
But you know, go back to Ward-Prowse, but like when you look at that, only Beckham, and it's like he's
think about
12
that.
Set-piece goals, equal with Zola, Henri. One thing, I didn't think Henri would have got that many.
No, I didn't either.
But it didn't surprise me Zola did.
You faced Zola in training. You know about that.
In training, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Like, by far the best one?
Well, you think about when they have a artificial wall. And I remember Frode Grotius was in net. And Zola bet him with a wall that he'd score 3 out of 5. And he did.
Wow.
And some of them are bouncing on the ground over the wall. It's not the tallest artificial wall, but it's still tall enough. Some of them were bouncing, so he's putting so much dip on it. The trouble is, even in a game, it's a one-off, right? But when he's standing there and they're basically setting him up, like here's a ball, put it in the slate there, and you just bang, bang, like a golf shot routine-wise, he could put it over the wall every single time with dip on target.
Sarms, don't you wish that there were all or nothing behind-the-scenes broadcasts when Forest played? Like, I would have loved to have seen that West Ham team.
Could you imagine? There'd be so much more interesting than now.
Oh,
don't you think? Like the 90s, 80s for sure, but the 90s teams all for nothing. Oh my god. I mean, it'd be like blue, it'd be x-rated a lot of it, I'm sure, but it'd be so much more. It'd be far more colorful.
It would be different for sure.
Way better.
Some illegal stuff, but
no more robots, you know, just doing their jobs and giving sound bites. No, these are actual real personalities.
They'd leave a lot on the cutting room floor, but also the distribution would have been so different at the time, right? Like maybe you'd get the big team on BBC and it would run as a weekly and anticipated appointment viewing. But for these other teams or to get it all, they'd probably have to run it in the theaters.
It wouldn't be Amazon, that's for sure.
Well,
I think they'd sell anything.
Yeah, that's right. Is James Ward-Prowse the best free kick taker in the Premier League?
Right now he is.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Of course he is.
If you were playing in an all-star game, you were managing an all-star team, and you had to win to like that crazy Texan cricket game. Remember that million-pound game? They took England's best and took them to the West Indies. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like 15 years ago, I think, or 10 years ago, I think that was. Mm-hmm. If there was a game like that, and you had the Premier League all-star team, Ronaldo and Ward-Prowse, and you're looking to win £50 million.
When was Ronaldo's last free kick?
Free kick goal. Did he not hit one in the Prem? I think he's done one. Since he's returned to United.
I don't think so, but it could be. He's not very many. He's scored very few from dead balls.
He's also taken a lot less for United than I expected he would. Mm-hmm. I thought he would take a few more. They have real options, though.
Well, Bruno's been missing a lot more, too, since he's arrived. But that's a conversation for a different show, perhaps.
Back to our lead game, which I haven't finished yet.
Yes.
Man City 1, Chelsea 0. Romelu Lukaku had the best chance, Chelsea's best chance in the second half. He had two, but Ederson made a world-class save. Lukaku's done a lot of talking, right, with his mouth. He has not backed it up with his game since. And did you see Tuchel? Said he had many ball losses without pressure and in very promising circumstances. Of course, we want to serve him. He is part of the team, and sometimes he needs to do the service as well. He had a huge chance, so he's included in this.
There's something very wrong there, isn't there, between Lukaku and Chelsea after half a season of football. after a £98 million move.
Ugh. I mean, come on.
Come on.
Isn't it disgusting? Like, the whole thing is just, ugh, yeah. Bad smell, man.
It's a bad smell. It really is. I mean, mm-hmm. for God's sake, so on both sides, but more so on Lukaku's side. He whined. I understand why the gaffer's now on him, because he whined publicly. We know that. We discussed that in previous shows. I get that. But, you know, how do you respond? You respond by scoring goals and putting the effort in. And those comments by Tuchel say it all.
You do it for yourself. You do it for the fans. You're not doing it for the like, who cares who the manager is at the end of the day? You might not like him. You don't have to like him. You have to do it.
At least put in the effort that suggestion that the suggestion that you want to do it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even look like he's doing that right now.
I think that's what Tuchel is frustrated with.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing that since those comments. You know, he came out with a big apology and you kind of thought, okay, he's gonna tear it up. Was the League Cup against Spurs his next game out? He played 90 minutes, but he didn't score at all. I think there was a lot of bets taken on him scoring. I would have been one of them.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, you know, I mean, he could be gone this summer, right? There's every chance. Conte could be gone at Spurs this summer as well. You know, see these massive, massive signings who just aren't working out for whatever reason.
It's a tough league.
I was going to say, so shall we start the rumors? Lukaku to Newcastle in January, but I think you've just dropped the hint there. Lukaku and Conte to Manchester United in the summer.
Yeah, well, it's funny because Conte, you know, we all thought, okay, there's that ship sailed now. But his comments this past week, you know, have infuriated Levy.
Yeah.
And I don't hear too many rumors around Spurs right now spending lots of money this January. And he's in a short-term contract for a reason. I mean, Christ, Spurs, you get the guy. It's not often Spurs will get, you know, a truly world-class manager, right? They've got this guy who you'd assume was given promises when he signed, yeah, we will back you in the market. Well, you better back him because he will walk. He's walked from bigger teams than you before. You've got the guy. Don't blow this one as well. Jesus.
They've already got a guy that's already complaining, you know, and upset with things.
It's a tough league, Craig. It's a tough league.
It is a tough league. Eh? Nobody, like, if you don't win the freaking thing, I mean, yeah, okay, Champions League, whatever.
No, but they're in second place. Even Chelsea's that. In second place, but yeah, I know.
Right? Arsenal was in the top four every year for 18 years, and in the end, they were like, oh, that's not good enough. We got to fire Wenger and bring in a new guy. And
second's as good as 17th.
Right?
In some cases, it's like, well, we don't want second, we want first. If you can't do it in a couple of years, you're gone. So this summer, who's most likely to stay at his current club? Ronaldo, Conte, or Lukaku, or Salah?
That's a great question. So before you threw Salah in there, Ronaldo, hands down, most likely to stay.
Even after his comments this week?
Even after his comments this week. Yeah, I truly do think that he really cares about being back there and thinks that they can get back to what they were, that they're not that far off from what they were, but he's seeing the slippery slope, and sadly, a change with Rangnick hasn't done it for them.
So Ronaldo's going to be the most likely. Who's the least likely to stay?
Well, you threw Salah in there, though. I still think that Salah stays at Liverpool. I mean, you always say that they're cheap and they're not going to spend for these big players. This is not a Thierry Henry leaving Arsenal for Barcelona situation. He's not on the decline yet. Genetically, he should be, but he's not on the decline yet. I can't see Liverpool and Klopp wanting to let him walk.
And finances in Europe, unless you're in the Premier League, it's obvious that it's really stinging. So who are those teams? I think their lineup is short.
Whenever a player goes off to Africa or off to South America for these tournaments, you know he's going to be asked questions and it's going to become a new story back home.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they better hurry up and do it, the deal. It should be an easy deal to make, really. I mean, he's the best player arguably in the Premier League, so pay him accordingly.
I've seen it on Instagram and I love it. I can't believe you haven't bought into it. Salah to PSG, Mbappe to Liverpool.
Huh? Well, if they can't afford Salah's wages, they can't afford Mbappe's wages.
I think they can afford Salah's wages. I think it's that they don't want to commit to being that team to do so.
Because of the age issue.
Because of the age. They still have their principles they want to hold by and play the league a certain way. And, you know, they've been able to contend with City and kick near the top without having to spend identical to City. Mm-hmm. Still, I mean, transfer fees, they've still spent a ton.
Well, they haven't already, because the money they spent was the Coutinho money. Right, they haven't actually gone out and just spent John Henry's money. All right, they're not in the same class as City, Chelsea, United. They just can't spend at that level, right?
Agreed. But would you not argue that their spending has changed the market and therefore raised the bar in the league in which they play in?
Because of the Van Dijk?
70 on Van Dijk and 70 on Alisson or whatever it was.
Yeah, but I think if it wasn't them buying Van Dijk for 75, it would have been Chelsea for 75 or 80. It would have been whoever it's going to be. That player was going to get that money somewhere. It happened to be Liverpool.
There's a team that you can always pinpoint, a team and a move that truly moves the needle, right? Like United buying Rio Ferdinand for 30, that did it at the same time as I think Figo went for that money the year before. Mm-hmm. And then Buffon went from Parma to Juve. And it seemed like, oh, that's the new, you know, that's going to be the new standard. But that was the equivalent of 100 million at the time. That was a lot of money. It started to move the needle, but it wasn't until Fernando Torres left Liverpool on a clear decline for 50 million, to which Liverpool turned around and spent 30 on Andy Carroll. Neither of those players were worth that. But that moved the bar. That's now set the level, right? That's the expectation. Mm-hmm. That's how Chris Wood goes from Burnley, who are relegation threatened, to Newcastle, who are trying to avoid relegation, for 20 million.
Yeah, but Van Dijk at 75, I mean, there's already 100 million pound players that have changed clubs. Not center backs, admittedly, right? But that Gareth Bale may have moved the needle when he moved originally, when Ronaldo moved for 100. I know what you're saying. The point being that Liverpool aren't in the same financial stratosphere as the PSGs, Chelsea's, Man City's, that it's not. So I wouldn't blame them for changing for moving the needle, but they got 140 odd million for Philippe Coutinho and signed two pretty good players who changed everything at that club.
Right.
So if you're going to change, if you're going to move the needle globally, you better make sure those players move the needle within your club. And those two players did.
Just like two ex-Liverpool players have totally moved the needle for the Claret and Blue in Birmingham and Aston Villa. Villa 2, Manchester United 2. Wake me up before you go-go. Who needs Grealish when you got Coutinho?
Oh, dear God. Hey, do you know who sung that song originally? The actual original, do you know, Bean? Just asking.
Wake me up before you go-go? Not a clue.
It's not Wham?
Yeah, it is Wham. You know that. But I like testing B's 80s musical knowledge.
Right. Yeah.
It's not so strong.
Has he heard of Wham before?
You must have.
Yeah, we said that's Charmin's favorite Christmas song. Every time I would do this show.
Not Wake Me Up. Yeah.
No, not that one.
Not that one.
Last Christmas.
By Wham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every year we would do the serious show, and I said, Charms, give me like a real English Christmas song. Like, oh, this one. I'm like, that's what you did last year. He's like, it's the best one. And it was like 5 years in a row that we opened the show with that Wham song. So it's nice to hear they made other music. I thought they were just a Christmas band.
George Michael wasn't much of a one-hit wonder. He did pretty well for himself. And Andrew Ridgeley was the guitarist.
Okay, so enough about my singing. I was just trying to, like, now that JC's become, you know, the voice of the show and he's relegated Elena, I'm just trying to take it back for the Dunlop household here.
Hey, listen, the two of them could make some sweet music together.
Gerard and Coutinho?
No, JC and Elena.
Oh, right.
And literally sweet music. I'm not being crude here. Mm.
Yeah, probably. We could try that out. I love that Villa have tried out Philippe Coutinho. Thank God that they've made the change to Steven Gerrard, which has totally made a change to their transfer recruiting possibilities. Because at 148 million, it was, I think, with bonuses when Coutinho left, I thought there was a chance he'd come back to the Premier League. Never thought it would be to play for Aston Villa and still be at the level that clearly he's at.
Pretty neat. Pretty cool. And what an absolute impact. That place was going nuts. It's a great football park in the first place, but to see that happen with him coming back, and Gerard knows how good he's going to be off the field too, you know, with the young players and being an exceptional professional off the field, by all accounts, is going to be great.
Do you think it's going to be a case of we look back in the last 3 years of Philippe Coutinho's career, and it's as if he just kind of left the earth for 3 years and wasn't heard of, and then has reappeared in the same ilk as he was at Liverpool, dominant player?
Well, I don't think it'll be the same ilk. Won't quite be the same ilk, but I mean, for Villa, he can be their most important player and the reason they kick on to challenging for Europe this season. I think that's well within the reach. You know, just look at, you said, Alphonso Davies not being involved. They can get by without him, but they really, Canada, lose that fear factor. That's all I saw when he came on the pitch against United. The fear factor that all of a sudden Villa have. He sets up Jacob Ramsey's goal, and then Ramsey sets him up, an assist and a goal in 14 minutes in his debut. And the whole tone of that match changed when he came on the field.
B, they're still 10 points out of sixth, right? And you're saying a European run?
They said they can kick on to challenge for a European place.
This season?
Now we're letting teams in eighth go to the Conference League.
Oh, the Conference League. Oh,
that doesn't count. That doesn't count, though. Jesus, come on.
That doesn't count.
That's not Europe.
Do you even know what it is yet?
I know what the conference... That's Brendan Rodgers, not Brendan Dunlop, that doesn't know. Are you kidding me? All the shit I watch? I know, buddy. I love that team in Belarus.
You can't consider that qualifying for Europe, though. Come on.
That's legally, that would be it.
No, no.
Legally?
If they qualify for the Conference League.
Legally, yeah. Has there been a law written? You finish eighth and get in the Conference League, you won't be arrested.
You don't think that that's going to be used on the recruitment letterhead when they're...
No, it's an embarrassment.
Speaking to agents and other players, Arsenal would use it.
No, if they brought that up, it'd be a big giggle show.
You what? The Conference what?
They're playing other European teams midweek on the continent. Isn't that the goal, to go up a level? That's the next level, guys. You got
going up a level. You're playing in like Bulgaria.
You got to walk on the steps that are in front of you, Sharms. That's how stairs work.
You can jump a few stairs too. You can jump a few stairs too and make the Europa League if you finish sixth, which next season might be a very possible goal for this team.
Yeah, next season. But as you just stated, there are 10 points off it at the moment and quite a few good teams in between.
Yeah, but you just can't say we're going to make a run for Europe. So, oh, really? If someone just had been away from football for, a year, right? And they heard this podcast and they think, Villa can make a run for Europe? Wow. Like, where are they in the table?
They're going to have to go undefeated.
What? They're 13th. They're 10 back of 6. Oh, no. The Conference League. The what? You can't say that.
Look, find me one Footy Prime listener that listens to this for educational purposes.
Are we a Conference League podcast?
Let's ask Doug Simonite and Dave Starkey. Yeah, are we
should ask
Conference League podcast?
What are we? What are we qualifying for as a podcast? Are we going to go for the Champions League spots, or are we more like back end Europa League, dare I say it, Conference League, or are we even Intertoto Cup quality?
Oh, come on! Don't knock the Intertoto.
Sorry, apologize.
The only trophy where there's actually three European winners.
Get three champions in that.
Yeah. We're like, we won the Intertoto, West Ham. Woo! And it's like, I think Juve did too. And another, I can't remember.
Great transition here. The Saudi Super Cup concluded today, which I tweeted from the account, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, that it even happened. does it really matter? They beat Athletic Bilbao 2-0.
Who did?
Real Madrid.
Oh, Real Madrid did.
Yeah, they did it for the gram. It's just so they can have photos and a brand new pay packet because they're not going on a U.S. tour with Omicron raging through. So this is the equivalent of that, in my opinion.
So this is the winner of what plays the winner of what?
No, this is the Spanish Supercopa, which they play in Saudi Arabia. So they take, I forget how they decided the four teams that went, but okay. Atletico Madrid lost to Bilbao in one semi and in El Clasico in the other. Real Madrid beats Barcelona because Vinicius and Benzema are the best duo in the game right now.
What a load of shit. Mid-season they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, game's gone.
Got to make money.
There's a made-up trophy?
It's a made-up trophy. The Spanish Supercopa.
Valid point, though. Spain do need to make money. They got to find a way somehow, I guess.
No kidding. Mm-hmm.
Would that go towards their financial fair play? They get a shitload of money for that? Does that count?
I don't know.
Sure, it's money made. Yeah,
I guess so, right? It's revenue.
It should count. Yeah. Everton have spent a lot of money. They're now going to be spending a new walk-away severance package for Rafa Benitez. Sacked after 6 months, he leaves with a win percentage of 26%, which is the worst record of a permanent Everton manager since Howard Kendall. And I only reference that because you were in the Premier League at that time.
Hey, Howard Kendall also won championships, so he was allowed to have a poor record or something.
This was his third spell at the club, so...
I was going to say.
They have a history of going back and forth.
Yeah. He loved a bevy.
Ooh. Did he have a Kendall?
Oh, jeez.
Small little fella, wasn't he?
Yeah. He'd be in the pub as soon as you showed up. I think he loved away games. You just offload at the hotel and go straight to the pub.
Again, why All or Nothing should be in the 80s.
Oh, God.
That Everton team would have been great to cover.
Mm. There would have been an episode, like a sommelier episode, where this wine expert just goes and, begins to write a book with Fergie talking about wines and a whole list of what does this manager like? What wine did this manager drink? I don't know why I made him French, the sommelier. He could have been anyway.
Well, they generally are.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
It's just a prettier name in Portuguese. Sommelier. It's not as, what is that? That guy's an expert in wine? Yeah.
Well, in England, you pronounce it wine expert. So sommelier is much better. Poor Rafa, though. Poor Rafa. I feel bad for Rafa.
Everton fans would say he's a wine expert because he did quite a bit of whining, didn't he?
He does wine a lot. Yeah, he put a statement out too already. He had that pretty quick after being fired, didn't he?
He's got a safe face.
He mentions financial. Well, he mentions, you know, the situation around the club, essentially injuries, which is a valid point, but also the financial issues around the club, which, well, listen, Rafa, I mean, I understand since you've been there, they haven't been quite as willing to spend the money, but prior to you, they spent a lot of money.
Well, they spent money, though, for him. I mean, just look at this month alone. They spent £30 million almost on two fullbacks. Vitaly Mykolenko, Ukrainian, he is an international, and so is Nathan Patterson, who you dropped the news on our show last week, I think, Scottish international. They got Anwar El Ghazi, and this is all under Rafa because he had them fire the sporting director.
And Lucas Dean.
And they got rid of Lucas Dean, yeah.
And the medical staff. And then because Rafa didn't like him, and then they fire Rafa.
They're such a mess, man.
I don't know, man. It's weird, isn't it? Because Lucas Dean's a decent player, right? And the fans liked him.
Yeah.
So you sell him because he fell out with the manager you fired, not a week later.
It seems like there's a lot going on. And then you look at all the managers that they've had. Ancelotti, with their lot, they've had seven managers now in 6 years.
Yeah.
And before that, when Moyes is there, sir, for 12 years or something, that they've had some good managers. And then remember they pried Marco Silva away from Watford. He's the one, you know.
And now they might get Roberto Martinez back.
That's the rumor.
Ancelotti, Martinez, you know, it's just on and on. It's
not been run very well, has it? Let's be honest. Really poorly. And even today, the announcement came during a match at Anfield. Right. And I know it's a little thing, but it's kind of optics. So, of course, the Reds fans hear this news and they start chanting Rafa's name, right? Which makes news. Again, it makes Everton look, well, just wait until the game finishes to announce it. Right? Oh. Can you not wait 45 minutes? I don't know. Yeah.
Benitez says this was a bigger job than he expected and the club lacked patience. Had he had some patience and not taken this Everton job this past summer, to pry him away from wherever he was in China, surely Newcastle would have hired him instead of Eddie Howe.
Popular hire, that would be.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Timing's everything. But he's got a property over in that area too still, right? He likes that, living in that area.
Loves it, yeah. You've mentioned that today in the statement, how he loves the area and the people of Merseyside. Mm-hmm. Not the blue half, but the other ones.
No, not the blue half.
Jeez.
I think you might see that house go on the market under a different name so they can get actual market value instead of, you know, a decreased value for being Rafa's old place.
Do you still see Rafa as being a top manager?
61. Like, is he going to get a big job again? I don't see him as a top manager, no. I think that Newcastle was, as much as he was too good for Newcastle, that also kind of became his level, I feel as though. And the reason he failed at Inter and the reason he failed at Real Madrid was that was out of his level, out of his depth.
It's been a long time, hasn't it? It's been a long time since he was successful. I mean, went off to China for a bit. I've no idea how he did there. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. He came to Newcastle and, well, he did a pretty good job there, we think, but still, what's a pretty good job there? What, ninth, I think, was the best finish? Which, compared to what we're seeing now, okay, he did a good job, but regardless, the fans loved him. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. 61, can he reinvent himself?
Does he want to?
And where? Does he want to, yeah. But you know these guys, Craig. They have this burning desire to be involved in football, right? And they can't really live a normal life outside football. So
the enjoyment outside of the games and doing interviews after you get hammered and you haven't won a game for a while, the enjoyment of the dressing room and the players and getting to know them and developing them. And it's a fun environment to be around. And you can see why these guys last so long or keep wanting to do it over and over again. Because the end of the day, you're hired to be fired at some stage and you have to have a thick skin to be able to keep doing that.
Who wants to do that job now, though, right? We mentioned Roberto Martinez is the heavy link, which would be a surprise return, a shocking return. He was the first manager that Moshiri, this owner who spends all the money, sacked. But they've taken 6 points from their last 13 games. They're 16th. They're only 6 points from the relegation zone. Who really wants that job?
Wayne Rooney.
You know, I know Wayne Rooney's name is mentioned. Yeah, it's been mentioned, right? And it would be a popular hire, I think, for the fans, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I look at Rooney's standpoint, and he's done a really good job at Derby. Really good job.
He has.
But Derby they could be out of business within the month. Like, they could not exist within the month. That's how close it is. You know, they're screaming now for government intervention to save them. That's how bad it is. So, you know, Rooney's he's got to get out of there at some point. And I think he's committed a lot to it. He's been through a lot there, so he's a loyal guy. I can see him sticking there as long as he can. But if Everton did come sniffing around, he'd be a fool to dismiss it, wouldn't he?
That's the same thing we said about Lampard, though.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it was the right move.
That's true.
Yeah, but the difference is in what the club are trying to accomplish right now would suit Rooney better than it would going to a club like Man United again, where he played and needing to win the league or expecting to win the league.
Like Lampard, yeah, Chelsea, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And there's only one way to go, isn't there, with Everton? And as bad as they've been, I don't think we all think they're really a relegation team.
No.
I think they're better than that, and they are getting healthier now. Maybe it's a good time to take over because they might spend a bit of money this window. They have done already, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. a bit of positivity.
Duncan Ferguson is another one in the conversation.
He'll be the caretaker.
It wouldn't be a bad one to put him in a caretaker role and just take your time with the manager.
Has anyone ever asked him whether he wants to manage? Every time they lose a manager, the fans clamor for Big Dunk. Mm-hmm. But I wonder, I mean, he might be quite happy just being a first-team coach. Maybe he's got ambition to go beyond there. You know, there's every chance. But I haven't never heard him actually say, and maybe he has, him say, yeah, I've got aspirations of managing Premier League. I never see him linked with other teams. Do you?
No.
No.
When jobs come available?
No, I've never heard of him being interviewed for another job. He might be blue and that's it. I kind of think, you know, he's got that Danny Dicchio kind of thing about him where, you know, everybody kind of overlooks him and he's not quite as polished but respected by the players. That's all you care about. Doesn't matter, you can't put a sentence together.
Big nasty center forward in his playing days.
Oh,
well, Big Dunk's the Scottish Deej.
Scottish Deej. I don't know if he DJ'd though.
He terrified me. When you're playing there, when Goodison, when they were buzzing.
Did you get any Ferguson elbows in the face?
Oh, yeah.
Big elbows or pointy elbows?
He was just a big lump. Anything that hit you hurt.
A lot of venom thrown around on social media towards Arsenal for getting the North London Derby postponed, which would have been Sunday's headliner, maybe the game of the weekend.
What is that about?
They had one COVID case in the squad, yet successfully had the match postponed.
It's a joke.
Bayern played a match, I think it was two Fridays ago. They didn't have one first-team player on the bench they played. Mm-hmm.
They loaned out two players last week.
I know.
They loaned them out.
They got 40 senior players available to them.
Yeah.
That's why you have youth teams too, isn't it? So you can, exactly. If you have to, bring them through. Sorry, you may not be your best 11, but that's sport. That happens. The kids are being told, we would rather not play this game than have you represent us.
Basically.
I mean, listen, we knew this would happen. And Arsenal are the team, the poster boys right now. But Liverpool have nothing to brag about either. There's other teams doing the same thing. The Premier League's allowed it to happen.
That's the problem. I don't blame them for trying.
It's embarrassing, though. The league should do better. The league owes it to everybody.
It's fun. I like it when players, you know, and teams have to, like, field their E-teams. It's like putting an outfield player in goal. It's, like, cool. You know, it sucks for that team, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've all had to learn to live with the virus, so embrace the emergency here, Premier League teams, okay?
Exactly. Celebrate it, you know?
Squad of thousands. Put them in.
Newcastle have been linked with every single player on the planet, yet they went and spent $20 million on Chris Wood. So much for Aubameyang, so much for Wijnaldum. This is the level that they're at now.
Chris Wood. He wasn't on my bingo card.
If you haven't subscribed to us, please do so. Like us on Twitter, footy_prime. We're at footyprime, the podcast, on TikTok and on Instagram. And you get to look forward to, four episodes a week. If you've not listened to the Danny Dicchio send-off show, which was uploaded on Thursday, please do so. It's a marathon and a good one. Get the Kleenex out for that. I think be a few primers and TFC fans will find that a sad one, a sad send-off.
The song's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
JC song is a classic. You boys are gems. Thank you for powering through. Sorry to take you away from the snooker charms.
It's on pause.
Talk to you on Tuesday, buddy.
See you guys.
Cheers for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.